VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. We're having a Friday news roundup broadcast here today. And friends, I look through the stacks of news that we have prepared before us here today, many stories, many issues of matters that are going on. And wow, we are indeed, I believe, in what Paul classified to Timothy as being perilous times. We see the heart of man that is so depraved, and friends, it seems to be getting worse by the day. Now, we don't fret, we don't fear, we know God is in control of this world, and we know that what he has before ordained will come to pass. But we are observant of the times. Our hearts are grieved over what is happening in this world, and our desires for people everywhere to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And so, friends, even as we go through this and we talk about the perilous times in which we are in today, we trust that you not lose hope, but it's going to give you a determination greater than ever to be salt and to be light. Friends, yesterday we announced on Crosstalk, just before we went on the air, the word that had come in, that in direct violation of Wisconsin law, Planned Parenthood announced that they will begin what they call abortion care services beginning this Monday, September 18th. Now, listeners, this interpreted means that beginning Monday, they will begin killing preborn infants. Joining us in reaction today, we welcome with us for the opening part of the broadcast, Jelaine Appling. She is president of Wisconsin Family Council. It was her organization that was firebombed by Jane's Revenge right after the Dobbs case was first leaked before being officially released by the U.S. Supreme Court. She was here on Crosstalk relaying that information. Jelaine, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for talking about these things, Jim.
Jelaine, very troubling indeed. Yesterday, we saw the announcement coming forth from Planned Parenthood that they were going to resume their so-called abortion services here in the state of Wisconsin. And in a letter, they said, with the recent confirmation from the court that there is not an enforceable abortion ban in Wisconsin, our staff can now provide the full scope of sexual and reproductive health care to anyone in Wisconsin who needs it, no matter what. Your response to what transpired yesterday?
It's illegal. Their actions, I believe, are patently illegal. I think they're being tremendously presumptuous, Jim, at the least. I think that what they have done is interpreted something that the Dane County Court said in July and taken great liberty with it. I think that they are essentially flaunting the rule of law in our state and saying that they are above the law. And unfortunately, our governor has also come in and said, yeah, they're right. I completely agree with them. So here is our executive branch concurring with this kind of decision on the part of the abortion giant here in Wisconsin. I was talking with media all day yesterday about this, and I kept saying to them, this is a horrible position for our state to be in. It's a sad day because abortion should be banned, most abortion, according to our pre-Roe law, right now. And here's the bottom line. Jim, you know this because you followed this so closely, but the Dane County Court, a judge there in July, was dealing with a motion to dismiss the lawsuit that had been filed against our pre-Roe abortion ban shortly after the Dobbs decision came down. And it had been late and doing nothing for a long, long time. And finally, things picked up about the time the Supreme Court had our election in the spring for the Supreme Court election, and the liberal won. And so this motion to dismiss, the judge said, no, I'm not going to dismiss it. But, oh, by the way, I think that law refers to feticide, not abortion. So I looked up feticide and said, by definition, feticide was abortion. But Planned Parenthood says, no. That law that was on the books before Roe versus Wade was decided, that law refers to forced abortions because they want to talk about consensual abortions. What,
yeah.
Pray tell, how do you see that in that law, 940.04 in our state statutes?
What is a consensual abortion? Where does the baby sign on the consent form?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the most basic question. Is the baby, who is a human being from the moment of conception on, does the baby have any consent in this? And obviously that's not the case. But you know how they skirt that. Well, they don't believe that's a human life until some point, I guess, after viability. And if you live in California, you can be up to 2 weeks past birth, and maybe even then it's not a baby. But that's how they're reasoning here. And so they say, well, if the mom consents to the abortion, then that law is not enforceable.
Nine.
Number one, I don't believe for a minute, Jim, that was the intent of the legislature and the governor that enacted that law.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that it's old doesn't matter.
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to mention that the lawsuit, I mean, it is still active. Yeah, the judge was supposed to rule on dismissal and then made these other comments, but this is still an active lawsuit in Dane County. It's not even gone up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, though it's destined there with now a pro-abortion Supreme Court majority in the state of Wisconsin. But this thing is still active, and Planned Parenthood acting on its own. And with the applause of the governor of the state of Wisconsin, is going to start killing babies this Monday.
Well, they are, and there has been, and I've said this repeatedly, there has been no court order rescinding or revoking the law saying that it is not enforceable. There's been no decision on that, just like you said. And no, the legislature has not passed any bill, let alone having the governor sign it, that revokes that statute. There is no legal standing that Planned Parenthood has to say, we are above the law, and so we are going to start doing abortions again in Madison and Milwaukee on Monday morning. This is just a flaunting of the law and the rule of law. And unfortunately, in this case, this is a life-taking illegal action. And this is all about... I think two things, in my opinion. Number one, Planned Parenthood's bottom line, and secondly, to advance their absolutely deadly liberal ideology.
Yeah. Ghislaine, I've got a statement here from Governor Evers of Wisconsin. He said, I've been very clear from the beginning that I would fight to restore reproductive freedom in our state with every power and every tool we have, and I've spent every day over the last year doing just that. Today's announcement from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin as a result of our lawsuit regarding Wisconsin's criminal abortion ban means Wisconsinites will once again be able to access vital reproductive health care and abortion services without exception for the first time since June of last year. This is critically important news for Wisconsin women and patients across our state who, for a year now, have been unable to access the health care they need when and where they need it. Number one, abortion. The killing of an innocent baby, preborn baby, is not health care. But Ghislaine, he is just flaunting the process here as well. We said this is a live suit, and that the government's cheering from the stands here. You know, go for it. We're behind you, Planned Parenthood. Go ahead and open up. Defy the law.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is very much in character with Governor Evers from when he campaigned for the first time in 2018, all the way through his first administration and into his campaign and for the 2022 election. He is I'll say this for him, Jim. He's consistent with his worldview. So, but what I agree with everything you said. Abortion is not health care. That it is so far from health care as to be ridiculous. And the governor keeps using those buzzwords, trying to say that this is a right, this is a liberty, and this is health care, and everybody's entitled to it. And the governor is basically saying he has put himself and allowed Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin to put itself above the law. The question is, what do we do now?
Right.
Who does what in reaction to this? And quite honestly, I'm not exactly sure, to be honest.
Let me just share this at this point, because Robin Voss, who is the Speaker of the State Assembly, he was asked whether the legislature might sue to stop Planned Parenthood from resuming abortions, and he said he expects some outside group might do that, but he said, quote, the legislature doesn't have to put itself into every single legal argument. Now, they have put themselves into many, many legal arguments, Ghislaine, and this one where you have life hanging in the balance, should not this be, is there not a cause?
Well, I would certainly think so. And if there's any keeper if I can use that word, of state statutes. It seems to me it is the legislature. And, of course, the attorney general. Now, Josh Paul filed the lawsuit, so he is not going to do anything to help our side on this issue. But I would think that there would be an appropriate role, Jim, for the state legislature to say, wait a minute, that's a statute that, and by the way, that's a statute that has been purposefully protected for all the years of Roe versus Wade, for 50 years, basically. And it's still on the books. So I would think there would be plenty of room for Robin to say, you know, we're going to look into this seriously and do everything we can. Maybe he doesn't want to commit right now, but at least say we're looking.
Right.
And I don't know who the outside groups are. Maybe there are some outside groups that are getting ready. But let's remember who the defendants are in this case, Jim.
Hmm.
Dane County DA, Milwaukee County DA, and the Sheboygan County DA, who has said from the beginning he would enforce the law.
Yeah.
The other two said they wouldn't enforce the law. So I don't know. Are we going to leave the Sheboygan County DA out there by himself to do all this? I don't know. I don't know how this goes.
Yeah, and so therefore, Jelaine, we actually call upon the peoples across this nation to be in prayer for this, for our law to be upheld in the state of Wisconsin, for wisdom and direction as to where this goes next.
Amen. Please, you know, regardless of where you live, we know that this abortion issue is now at the state level, and states are dealing with it in many, many different ways right now. Now is our turn. This is a direct affront on the lives of the unborn, our future, Jim,
yeah.
Our future in Wisconsin, and the rule of law in our state.
And friends, in Wisconsin in particular, you can reach out to your members of the legislature and ask that they do intervene. This is a direct assault upon the legislative branch of our governmental system, and you can reach out to your senator and your state representative in that regard. Jelaine, one other comment here before you leave, and that is we just learned from LifeNews.com earlier this week that in the state of Maine, the Second Baptist Church in Palermo vandalized last Saturday night with pro-abortion slogans and red paint. Vandals painted "abortion is a human right" on the rear of the church and defaced the church's Christmas nativity scene with the phrase "queer love forever." You know what it's like to have your property vandalized. You were actually firebombed, but the violence continues on.
It does, Jim. And unfortunately, that's become a default position for people who disagree with our values, and they don't want us to have the freedom to speak in on these issues. But I think what's really noteworthy here on the situation you just talked about in Maine is notice how they combine the two issues. And I have said that all along. The progressives, the leftists, they don't bifurcate on issues, you know, fiscal versus social. The people that are pro-abortion are pro-LGBTQ. The people that are LGBTQ supportive are largely pro-abortion. Because notice the combination of the two issues that are there in that defacing of that property. And secondly, they have it so wrong on the one about life.
Yeah.
The real right is a right to life.
Jelaine Appling with us here today. The website, WIFamilyCouncil.org, WIFamilyCouncil.org. Jelaine, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Jim. God bless.
And friends, we're going to continue with our news roundup right after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when did the mammoths die?
Chris, the mammoths were thought to have died out about 10,000 years ago. And although evolutionists have admitted that early man must have seen the mammoths, more recent evidence has caused them much consternation. In the tomb of one of the pharaohs in Egypt is a drawing of men carrying ivory tusk on their shoulders. Next to them is an animal that sure looks like a mammoth, with hairy skin and a domed head, just like we see in mammoth fossils. And why not? Mammoths are a variety of the elephant kind, and two of them were on board Noah's Ark. Certainly humans knew of them, and from the earliest times have made use of their ivory. Chris, it's the back-to-Genesis view of history which makes sense out of the evidence.
To equip yourself with facts that support your faith, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and we're going to continue on with our news roundup. So many issues that are going on here across this nation, but just one further comment where they talk about, you know, the abortion health care and equating abortion with health care. When do we equate abortion with murder? Every time there's a shooting in the city, you know, it says, oh, we got to stop this murder, got to stop the violence. And the same legislators, the same city council members and county supervisors and state legislators and governors are advocating the violence in the womb and somehow cannot separate in their mind that what they are doing is perpetrating this violence. You know, when are we going to start hearing these politicians say, well, we need proper health care. Every murder is health care. You see, that's how insane this sounds. Well, friends, I've got enough for 3 hours of crosstalk here today before me. Let's continue on. Despite media and Democrat claims that there's no evidence of wrongdoing by President Joe Biden, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy spelled out the evidence as he announced this week the launch of an impeachment inquiry. An impeachment inquiry. Let's go ahead and hear what he had to say on this matter. Perhaps a little bit more than what other media has provided for you, but here was Kevin McCarthy's rationale.
Conduct. Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption. Now, here's what we know so far. Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings. Eyewitnesses have testified that the president joined on multiple phone calls and had multiple interactions. Dinners resulted in cars and millions of dollars into his son's and his son's business partners. We know that bank records show that nearly $20 million in payments were directed to the Biden family members and associates through various shell companies. The Treasury Department alone has more than 150 transactions involving the Biden family and other business associates that were flagged as suspicious activity by U.S. banks. Even a trusted FBI informant has alleged a bribe to the Biden family. Biden used his official office to coordinate with Hunter Biden's business partners about Hunter's role in Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company. Finally, despite these serious allegations, it appears that the president's family has been offered special treatment by Biden's own administration, treatment that not otherwise would have received if they were not related to the president. These are allegations of abuse of power, obstruction, and corruption, and they warrant further investigation by the House of Representatives. That's why today I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public. It's exactly what we want to know, the answers. I believe the president would want to answer these questions and allegations as well. This effort will be led by Chairman James Comer at the Committee on Oversight in coordination with Chairman Jim Jordan for Judiciary Committee and Chairman Jason Smith on Ways and Means. Now, I do not make this decision lightly. And regardless of your party or who you voted for, these facts should concern all Americans. The American people deserve to know that the public offices are not for sale, and that the federal government is not being used to cover up the actions of a politically associated family. Now, I would encourage the president and his team to fully cooperate with this investigation in the interests of transparency. We are committed to getting the answers for the American public. Nothing more, nothing less. We will go wherever the evidence takes us. Thank you very much.
Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not?
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy as he announced the impeachment inquiry this week. Well, from Western Journal, the White House is calling for media organizations to do its work by attacking Republicans now that a formal impeachment inquiry has been launched. According to a new report, it's a draft copy of the letter to news organizations obtained by CNN. It's time for the media. Here's a quote. It's time for the media to ramp up its scrutiny of House Republicans for opening an impeachment inquiry based on lies, wrote Ian Sams, a spokesman for the White House counsel's office. CNN, The New York Times, Fox News, Associated Press, CBS News, and other outlets will be sent the letter, CNN quoted a White House official familiar with the matter as saying. The letter said balanced reporting cannot be pursued in this case. Covering impeachment as a process story where Republicans say X but the White House says Y is a disservice to American public who relies on the independent press to hold those in power accountable, Sams wrote. Well, townhall.com says in the first public comments as House Speaker McCarthy announced on this impeachment inquiry, President Biden seemed unfazed by the effort and insisted he remains focused on serving the American people. He said, quote, "Well, I tell you what, I don't know why, but they wanted to impeach me. And now the best I can tell, they want to impeach me because they want to shut down the government." He said, referencing Congress, September 30th deadline to keep the government open. He said, so look, I got a job to do. Everybody always asked about impeachment. I get up every day, not a joke, not focused on impeachment. I've got a job to do. I've got to deal with the issues that affect the American people every single solitary day. End of quote. By the way, folks, have you seen the recent press reports that have indicated that this president who is going to do the work of the people every day has vacationed 40% of his presidency? For Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled last week that the Biden administration violated the First Amendment rights of millions of Americans by coercing social media companies to censor posts about COVID-19, elections, and other content that the administration considered problematic. The court identified, or rather modified, a preliminary injunction and now restricts the White House, the Surgeon General, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the FBI from improperly influencing social media content policies. We'll see what comes out with that. Coming from the National Review, Teresa Bukovnik, I'm sorry about that, entered the race for president on Thursday, has no illusion of winning the Democratic primary. Instead, coming out, the progressive pro-life activist hoping to bring what she believes is a much-needed voice of reason on abortion to the Democratic Party. Can I mention something else about abortion here? In an interview Sunday, Vice President Kamala Harris refused to say if there should be any limitations on abortion. She was on Face the Nation, and the moderator, Margaret Brennan Harris, was asked her a slew of questions about abortion rights. I want you to hear part of that exchange.
So what is it that you believe? I mean, what week of pregnancy should abortion access be cut off?
We need to restore the protections of Roe versus Wade. We're not trying to do something new.
Well, that was nebulous because it was about viability, which could be anywhere between 20 to 24 weeks.
No. Let me be very clear.
The Women's Health Protection Act that the White House also endorsed.
Let me be very clear. From day one, the president has been clear, I have been clear. We need to put back the protections that are in Roe v. Wade into law. Since the Supreme Court took it, Congress has the power and ability to pass legislation to put those protections back in law, and Joe Biden will sign that bill. So that is what we want.
But does it need to be specific in terms of defining and where that guarantee goes up to? And where it does not, at which week of pregnancy?
We need to put back in place the protections of Roe versus Wade. We're not trying to do anything that did not exist before June of last year.
It wasn't crafted into law. And that's why I'm asking you for the specifics there, because Republicans say the lack of a precise date in cutting it off. You know this. They say that allows Democrats to perform abortions up until, you know, birth.
Which is ridiculous.
Statistically not accurate.
And it's ridiculous.
I understand
and it's a
that.
Mischaracterization so, of the point. No, the point
but,
is...
But
the
do
point
you need to be more precise?
I am being precise. We need to put into law the protections of Roe versus Wade.
Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, has allowed for abortions, the killing of the preborn child up until the moment of birth. By the way, I want to update you. This story just brought to our attention earlier today. WKOW is reporting this. A member of a Christian preacher group who was arrested after a Watertown Pride event facing new accusations. 19-year-old Marcus Schrader is charged in Dodge County for making a bomb scare, a Class I felony. Previously had been arrested in a violation of the what they called a permit violation at the Pride event in July, was released with a warning and charges were not filed. But now fast forward nearly 2 months and Schrader was back in custody for a felony charge pertaining to the same event. And according to the records here, the court commissioner saying, Mr. Schrader, you're charged with one count of making a bomb scare. As a Class I felony, it could carry fines up to $10,000 or imprisonment or up to 3.5 years, the court commissioner said. According to the criminal complaint, Schrader told the operator, quote, I'm at the park right now for a drag queen event in Watertown, and a guy just came up to me and said there is a bomb set to explode at 12:05. Shortly before the call came in, the officer on scene reported escorting one of the people Schrader was seen with at the park. The officer claimed Schrader then left the park and seconds later dialed 911 to report a bomb threat. We do not know all the facts, all the issues that are pertaining to this, but those new charges just filed as reported by WKOW. Just the News is reporting that House and Senate conservatives are pushing to revert back to fiscal year 2022 spending levels, with Senator Rick Scott arguing that Congress must stop the Biden administration's budget proposal from advancing, given that the federal government is spending $400,000 per new person added to the U.S. population since the year 2019. Also, Western Journal reporting the White House warning Joe Biden would veto a proposed bill that includes a military pay raise because the legislation doesn't cater enough to left-wing agenda items such as abortion, climate change, diversity initiatives, and transgender issues. It would include a pay increase, ensuring that the lowest earning service members would make at least $15 an hour for a 40-hour work week. That's according to military.com. From Breitbart, Special Counsel David Weiss Thursday indicted Hunter Biden on 3 criminal charges related to the possession of firearms. That is unlawful user or an addicted to a controlled substance, one count of false statement related to information required to be kept by federal firearms license dealer. He could face prison time over this. And Red State is reporting that President Biden knew his son was going through a drug crisis in October of 2018, spoke to him soon after the first son lied on the federal form in order to buy a gun. It is reported that he spoke to Hunter just 3 days after the fraudulent purchase, leaving him a voicemail sounding close to tears, begging him to get help just 3 days after he bought the .38 caliber Colt revolver from a Delaware store. I've got some more issues after the break we'll bring to your attention here on a News Roundup Day on Crosstalk. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand the teaching of Muhammad, which are found in the Quran and in the Hadith. But is this true? The Violent Truth About Islam is a 24-page booklet that examines such claims, along with dozens of passages from the Quran and statements from the Hadith and Muslim scholars. What is the cause of violence and terror in Islam? This booklet will leave no doubt about Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arising from the very words in the Quran and from the example of Muhammad's life and teachings. One copy of this booklet is available for a donation of $2, 5 copies for $9, or 10 copies for a donation of $12. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a News Roundup Day here today. I've got several more stories, topics I'd like to bring to your attention today. Let's see. The Daily Caller is indicating that two January 6th defendants are asking the Supreme Court to correct what they argue is prosecution overcharging before their charges go to trial. This is Edward Lang and Garrett Miller, allegedly both entered the Capitol on January 6th, are asking the court to dismiss an obstruction charge against them before their trials, alleging that prosecutors broaden an unrelated statute to over-penalize those who participated in the riots. If the Supreme Court takes the case, it could have very broad implications for hundreds of other January 6th defendants indicted under the statute. LifeSite News and, well, lots of media telling us Mitt Romney is announcing he will not seek re-election to the U.S. Senate in 2024. He said it's time for a new generation of leaders. They're the ones that need to make the decisions that will shape the world that they will be living in. From Todd Starnes, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin has granted an absolute pardon to Scott Smith. He's a Loudoun County father who was wrongfully prosecuted and convicted for standing up for his daughter at a 2021 Loudoun County School Board meeting after she was sexually assaulted at school. I spoke with Mr. Smith on Friday, and I had the privilege of telling Mr. Smith I will pardon him, and we did that on Friday, Youngkin said. We righted a wrong. He shouldn't. He should have never been prosecuted here. This was a dad standing up for his daughter. His daughter was sexually assaulted by a biological male wearing a dress inside a school bathroom. The school covered up the crime, reports Todd Starnes. And friends, I want to we've got another issue going on in Milwaukee County, a resolution that is before us, right, our county board, to make Milwaukee County a sanctuary county for transgender individuals and for medical treatments, gender-affirming care, they call it, even though that you can never change gender. You're either male or female. You can't change that one or the other. But the committee did pass that this week 3-2, which means it goes on before the full Milwaukee County Board. Speaking of Milwaukee, Washington Free Beacon had this story of the Milwaukee Police Department. They will not report the gender of crime victims in media releases, a decision based on discussions with LGBT activists. Quote, it's a way to preserve the dignity and privacy of all victims, said Heather Hoff, the police department's chief of staff. The police department wants to ensure the best service possible for the entire community. Another very troubling story here today from Todd Starnes of a taxpayer-funded library in Bartlett, Tennessee, under fire over plans that they had to host a pajama party for children when they were going to be shown sexually explicit picture books. Folks, who in their right mind would even dream this up? To bring children in their pajamas and then being shown sexually explicit picture books. The Shelby County Commissioner, Mick Wright, told KWAM, a news talk radio in Memphis, he said, I was shocked. I was shocked when I learned of this event from a concerned mom. According to the event description, Memphis public libraries wanted children as young as 13 years old to channel their inner children and read some of the most controversial picture books of the year. There was going to be a contest, and the winner would receive a copy of Genderqueer, a flat-out pornographic book that has caused national outrage in school libraries across the nation. They're wanting 13-year-olds to come in sleepwear to look at sexually explicit pictures together, Wright said, noting that snacks were also going to be provided. They're luring kids in with snacks to look at these suggestive pictures. It's very disturbing. Once Commissioner Wright, a Republican, exposed the library's nefarious plans, the event was canceled. The audacity to know that this was even planned and promoted, folks. Have teens, young kids come in, into the library in their pajamas and show them pornographic pictures and materials. Washington Free Beacon. California Democrats this week passed a bill ordering judges to consider gender affirmation as part of a child's health, safety, and welfare when deciding parental custody or visitation rights. The proposals, we understand, are on Governor Newsom's desk. Truly troubling. HotAir.com is reporting Hanover Township, that includes the towns of Cedar Knolls and And other communities voted unanimously Monday night to simply do away with the state policy that prevents schools from telling parents about the children transitioning. State Attorney General's office has filed a civil rights complaint against the Hanover Township School District. School district has in turn challenged the state, saying it will vigorously defend the policy, which it says protects parental rights and ensures the safety of all school children. How does it make you feel as a parent when the school, you know, to their credit, says, hey, if a child starts using different pronouns or wants to use the restroom of the opposite sex, we're going to tell parents about this. And when you have the Attorney General's office stepping in and filing suit against, I mean, that's what's going on in California. Liberty Counsel reporting that the Washington University Pediatric Transgender Center at St. Louis's Children's Hospital announced Monday that it will no longer provide harmful puberty blockers or hormone therapies to children due to Missouri Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act that is now in effect. The University of Missouri, in a statement, they said the university said that the Missouri's newly enacted law makes it untenable to continue these procedures by giving minors a legal claim that subjects the university to an unacceptable level of liability. You know what's going on in Germany at daycare centers? LifeSiteNews.com has the story today. Actually, it came out yesterday. Several German daycare centers have promoted sexual exploration rooms for small children to engage with themselves and each other sexually. According to a report by the German newspaper Die Welt, two daycares in North Rhine-Westphalia provide protected spaces into which children can withdraw to discover and satisfy themselves physically. In another daycare center in Rheinberg, Dr. Games are reportedly prepared for the children in separate rooms. Folks, we have this going on at the same time. We've got, from the Daily Mail, China flying 68 warplanes and deployed 10 Navy vessels around Taiwan in a day span, just weeks after the U.S. announced that its first ever transfer of military equipment to the island. It is the latest military demonstration between China, Taiwan, and the U.S. By the way, one of the senior officials of Chinese defense, Chief Li Shangfu, missing. People have not seen him for quite some time. LifeSiteNews.com reports the number of coin shop owners in the U.S. have reportedly recently had their bank accounts shut down without explanation, and what some are calling examples of what the future could be like if central bank digital currencies are widely adopted. They're just closing all my accounts, said the Ohio proprietor via his gold and silver stackers YouTube channel. They don't want to do business with me. They don't tell me why. I went to my local branch, who I have a good relationship with, talked to the manager. She tried to find out. They wouldn't tell her. So I'm thinking, what's going on? But come to find out, it's happening to other coin shops as well. Well, we got inflation surging. We've got this new COVID shot that is coming out. Dr. Scott Atlas is blasting the COVID fiasco, is condemning the renewed push for masks and lockdowns. This is the former White House COVID advisor, Dr. Scott Atlas, slammed the public health fiasco of the past 3 years and the apparent return of COVID-19 hysteria in an interview this week. He's a health policy fellow at Stanford University Hoover Institution and a former White House advisor on the coronavirus task force during the Trump administration, and told the Epoch Times' Joshua Phillip on Wednesday that the coronavirus response has been the biggest public health fiasco in modern history, and it is continuing. Friends, I'd like to open our lines here on Crosstalk. If you want to comment on these or other current event stories, I've got so many stories here that I could bring to your attention, but I'd like to also have opportunity to hear from you. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on any of these stories we presented or other current event stories, your reaction to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, who have just taken the law into their own hands, saying this coming Monday they're going to start killing preborn babies. Well, they won't use those terms. They talk about abortion care services. We also have Daily Caller, Food and Drug Administration approved new guidelines for an updated booster shot at the Omicron variant XBB 1.5 for adults, children as young as 6 months, according to a Monday press release. The agency announced that it would be approving a single component update to COVID-19 booster shots for previously vaccinated children as young as 6 months old and anyone 5 and up, regardless of prior vaccination status. They go on with more comments there, but we'll take your calls here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's begin today with James. Hi, James. Tomah, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. In high school, I read a book which was shocking from Aldous Huxley called Brave New World. And when you mentioned in Germany the separate rooms for children to explore themselves and each other, that just sounded exactly like that book.
Wow. Thank you for the call.
It's going to get wicked before he comes back.
Yeah, it is getting wicked. Thank you, James. It is getting wicked. And friends, as the song says, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And going to pick up our next call here in just a moment. We've got some lines being processed right now. But friends, pick up your call. By the way, South Dakota has denied a second carbon dioxide pipeline in a week, reports the Center Square. South Dakota Public Utilities Commission denied a company's application to construct the carbon dioxide pipeline this past Monday. They canceled a three-week hearing scheduled to begin Monday after they heard the application submitted by Summit Carbon Solutions would have violated county ordinances. Let's go next to Nano out of Mesa, Arizona. Nano, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Basically, I wanted to call and thank you guys very much for everything you do. I really appreciate tuning in every day. Secondly, I was a bit of a blasphemous individual. I'm coming back to Christ right now. Was part of the LGBTQ. Now found God again. I'm working towards it. But as I look among my peers around here in this state, I find so many people are just lost. So the only thing I can say is just keep helping those people, and they'll find their way. They will. I got a couple of people that kind of converted back to God as well.
Yeah.
But you guys help with that tremendously, and I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen to it. God bless.
Great. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Gary in Mesa, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing? You have mentioned those news events are violations of privacy, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, criminal trespass, all passing as freedom or having something to do with liberty. Doesn't get any nuttier than that.
Okay, thank you for your comment here today. Not sure where you're all going with that, but tell you what, we're up against a break. We'll pick up more of your calls here following the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our number, 800-733-9829. Crosstalk continues here right after this minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This week, America remembered the 22nd anniversary of the tragedy of 9/11/2001, where nearly 3,000 Americans lost their lives. So what has happened in America since that day? Islam has gained a bigger footprint in America. Islam, which we were told was responsible for the terrorist attack with these Saudi hijackers, they have more religious liberty in America now, and liberties, period, than the average Christian conservative constitutionalist and patriot. In fact, our own government under the Department of Homeland Security has labeled those who are opposed to government restrictions related to COVID as potential domestic terrorists. The narrative has indeed been flipped. Islam is wide open to take over, and Christians, they're to lose their liberty and freedoms and be classified as domestic terrorists. Who would have ever thought it?
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and taking your calls here today on the News Roundup and giving you opportunity to comment on these stories or other current event news. Let's go next to Apache Junction, Arizona. And Stephanie, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just have a couple of statements. I recently got a job working for the Social Security Administration, and I'm hoping that they won't implement or mandate this COVID jab, because if they do, then job. But I also wanted to mention something about, I heard you talk about the abortion with the other lady that you were speaking with. And I had made a post online about how, I don't know how they came to the conclusion that a woman can be pregnant with anything other than a human. If they're going to go by the stance that to follow the science on everything that has to do with COVID, then they should follow the science that has everything to do with getting pregnant and only being able to carry humans and give birth to humans. Their logic is illogical.
Yeah.
And people that just seem to be so easily persuaded lately, it's insane.
It is insane, and it is a double-mindedness. You're right. It's you're using common sense in all of this, Stephanie, and that's the problem. There's no common sense in the logic that they're utilizing.
There's none, because a lot of people think that, well, if the government says it and claims that it's true, then it's got to be true, yeah. And I have to do what they say.
Yeah.
And that totally goes against even what our founding fathers said. Just for the main reason for us to be able to bear arms was created for us to protect ourselves from the government.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. And that just bears a reminder for those of you. And earlier we had Bill Federer with us, and he's going to be starting a road tour, Silence Equals Consent, beginning this coming Tuesday, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Trail Ridge Camp, then going up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, going to Duluth, Minnesota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Iowa City, Des Moines, also going to Salina, Kansas, Lubbock, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Phoenix, Arizona. All the details at vcy.org. Let's go next to Dave in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Thank you for what you do. What I wanted to make a comment on the abortion thing in the Wisconsin, what folks need to understand is it's the attorney generals that have the power to file injunctions and bad decisions by the governors. I just thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, and thank you. And to keep in mind, in Wisconsin, the attorney general is following lock, step, and barrel here with the Planned Parenthood. He's in the pocket of Planned Parenthood, as is the governor as well. Let's go next to, and yesterday we did give out the phone number for the attorney general's office. You can continue to make calls there, and as well as to your legislators. This is an affront against their legislative branch of government. We've got Callie next in New Lexington, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Callie, and I'm in New Lexington, and I work in the next county over in Lancaster, Ohio. And I wanted to report that the public library there has a secret room. The secret room is for children only. No adults are allowed. They've put all the transgender, the homosexual material, and pornographic material in this room, and it's for children only.
How do you know about this, Kelly?
I was part of Revive Ohio. There was a lady on one of our teams, and she personally knows about this secret room, and she reported to us because we went into the basement and prayed over this library.
Hmm. And have you made any calls or inquiries of the library regarding this or visited?
They keep denying it. She told us that they had taken a utility room and converted it into this secret room.
Okay. Thank you, Callie. And perhaps those in that area can do some more verification of that and get more information. Thank you for the call. Greg is next in Minnesota. Greg, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. And the whole abortion thing in Wisconsin, and it's just hard sometimes to wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it's such an abomination, for one thing. But the other thing is, if you look at the 40 years, whatever, plus of Roe v. Wade, and just generations are being killed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, but it goes along, I think, with the eugenics plan and population control.
It works hand in hand. Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, was all about eugenics. Yeah. Thank you, Greg. We've got Chad next in Ohio. Chad, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I know it mentions in the Bible, a lot of countries out there, you know, they last 200 years, 300 years, and they get destroyed for their wickedness. And then Jonah was sent to Nineveh, I think it was, right? And God was going to destroy them, and he told them, you know, repent, and they were willing to repent. You know, do you think that the United States is that far gone that they would keep their, you know, backs toward God? And also in the book of Revelations, that it doesn't mention the United States after chapter 3, I believe. And that can only possibly be one or two reasons. You know, one, we're destroyed, or we're flying under another plague. And I was just wondering what your thoughts on how much you think the United States is going to last before this country falls.
You know, that's a great question, Chad. I'll tell you this, though, that the United States has turned its back on God. We do not see the United States mentioned anywhere in the book of Revelation, not even in the prior chapters there. We see reference to the churches, the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. But we have turned our back on God. We are fast moving toward God's judgment. And as far as the people of Nineveh, they did turn and repent, and that really is the solution for this nation as well. Thanks for the call. Matthew, our final caller out of Northfield, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, concerning Planned Parenthood, I'm not quite understanding why the Dane and Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office can't enforce the law and go after Planned Parenthood and possibly even go after Josh Call and the governor. I know that the sheriff's have the ultimate power in the counties themselves, and I don't know what your thinking is on it. I would think they'd be able to basically go after them if they start to implement this again on Monday.
Yeah, if the sheriffs indeed were in agreement with upholding constitutional law, that may be the problem there as well. I'm out of time. Thank you for the call. And friends, you can reach out to individual state officials on this this very matter here in Wisconsin. Friends, a reminder, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I hope you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church this Lord's Day. Be salt and light. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.